It's Easter morning. Yes, indeedy. Yes. Thank you. The unshakable kingdom. That's what I want to have. I want to have that unshakable feeling, that unshakable kingdom that I dwell in, where nothing rocks my world except God. Yes, yes, yes. Well, happy, wondrous, glorious Resurrection Day. Yes, yes, yes. We made it. We made it. We made it. We made it. We have come through the crucifixion experience to celebrate the fabulous and wonderful moment of this glorious day. This is such a powerful message for all of humanity. You know, it happens every year, but the message is still so powerful, so beautiful, that no matter what we go through, there's always a resurrection morning. There's always a new beginning. You know, for every ending, there's something new to be born, to be experienced. Now, it's only been 7 days since Palm Sunday, since Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And yet we know that within the span of 7 days, much occurred. From triumph to seemingly tragedy. From gladness to sadness. But it never ends there. There's a cycle. And we have come full cycle into that expression of joyful, rejoicing, and celebrating once again. So it was a journey. And we know that sometimes when we're on a journey, whether it's a journey of 7 days, or a journey of 7 hours, or 7 years, whatever the time, we know that when we're on a journey, that it is sometimes filled with ups and downs and twists and turns. And sometimes there are roadblocks on our journey and there are some obstacles on our journey. And maybe even for a moment, we might even have some smooth sailing, some smooth paths that we walk on. But that doesn't necessarily last long. The whole journey of your life has not necessarily been a smooth unfolding. But it has been a growing journey, has it not? Hasn't it been still a fulfilling experience with all of that ups and downs? So I want us to continue this morning to follow the journey of Jesus after the resurrection to see if there is a message for us today. Now, each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell of a similar story to the ending of the story. They have a similar ending in some aspects, and then a couple of them are very different in their telling of the ending of the story. And I've been guided this morning to read the story from each of the Gospels. So we're going to hear some scripture today, and a lot of it. So I want you to just relax, so that we may open heart and mind and hear the scripture, hear the word. And I'm going to start with the first book. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we'll take them all in that order. And we start with Matthew 28, verses 1 through Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. And it says, early on Easter morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's been raised from the dead just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And they went, and as they went, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said, and they ran to him and held his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way to the city, some of the men who had been guarding the tomb went to the leading priest and told them what had happened. A meeting of all the religious leaders was called, and they decided to bribe the soldiers. They told the soldiers, "You must say, 'Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body.' If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you, and everything will be all right." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread quickly among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them still doubted. And Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given authority in all heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the reading from Matthew. When we get to the story as told from the Gospel of Mark, the book of Mark, a similar story is told, especially with the Marys. Now, in all of the Gospels, the Marys, or Mary, some of them are Marys, Mary and the other Mary they call her, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and then Salome, and then it's sort of Mary, and then it's the women. But all of the Marys are present in all of the Gospels. And they are all the first ones to receive the message. And you see, there's something about that. The message is told first to the Marys because that divine feminine energy is the receptive energy. There must be some level of receptivity in the soul to hear the message, to receive the message. And all of us have a measure of the divine feminine as well as the divine masculine energies within us. So it's the Mary part of us this morning that must listen and receive the message. Is Mary present in you this morning?
Yes.
All right. So now we are at Mark. And of course, the Marys are there. And she goes to the tomb and, of course, finding the same thing as was told in Matthew. The tomb is empty. And there's an angel of the Lord there. And, you know, the angel also says, "I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He is risen." And then this is what the angel says to Mary in Matthew. I'm reading from Matthew 16, verses 7 through 8. After he's already told him, "Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead." And he invites her to come and look to see where the body was laid. Then he says, the angel says, "Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, saying nothing to anyone because they were too frightened to talk. And so they too, in this version, get the message, And they are to go and tell the disciples, including Peter. Now, this particular version, Mark says, makes it a point to say, including Peter. Now, you know, Peter, of course, represents what? Faith. Okay, only a few of you know that by now. Oh, my goodness. I must not be doing a good job. You know, on any journey, you're going to, especially a journey you have not traveled before, you're going to need some faith. Is that right? Because we don't know what's around the bend. We don't know what's about to happen. And it is faith that enables us to take the next step. You need a little faith, even if your faith falters from time to time. And has your faith ever faltered? Yes, from time to time. But it's okay. Because the scripture, as we know, says, make sure that Peter is included, because Peter was the one who did what? Who denied Jesus 3 times, even knowing him. Don't know him. And we too have been in that position where we have acted as if we don't know God at all. We have no sense of the Christ. Nuh-uh. But it's all right when the faith falters, because we know that Peter plays a very integral part, because Jesus said in earlier scriptures, he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And he was speaking about Peter. Peter, upon this rock of faith, I'm going to build my church. So it's okay that he faltered. And I'm glad, because we can always be redeemed. We can always be forgiven. We can always have a new opportunity to begin again, right? And that's a beautiful thing. So the angel says, go and tell them that Jesus is going ahead to Galilee, including Peter. So Peter, too, must somehow get to Galilee. Go and tell. So we know that this is a powerful portion for us to understand. He says, tell the disciples, including Peter, Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there, just as he told you before he died. Now, the next two Gospels, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, in Luke, we still have the women going to the tomb, and this time they find two angels. In Mark and Matthew, there's only one, but in Luke, there's a reporting that they find two angels. And the angels, of course, say to them, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. Tell him that he's risen. So the Marys go and they run to tell the disciples. And the disciples did not believe them, it says in Luke. Except, it says, for Peter. Oh. Peter then goes, and John, well, it says the disciple who also loved Jesus, and we as theologians think that it's John. But Peter goes and he runs to the temple, to the tomb, to see what the Marys have said. And John outruns Peter. So love sometimes, thank God, outruns faith, but that's all right. So they get there, and of course Peter sees that the tomb is empty, and it just says, the scripture says that he leaves and goes home just wondering what had happened. But the story in Luke doesn't end there, because Luke now introduces two new characters in the story. Luke introduces two other followers of Jesus. You had the disciples, but there were many, many disciples and many, many followers that Jesus had, including the 12. So Luke introduces these two characters who were leaving after everything had happened. They were leaving Jerusalem, and they were walking home to Emmaus. And along the road to Emmaus, as they're walking home and they're talking about everything that has just happened this last week, and Jesus comes and he greets them. Now, they don't recognize him at all. See, sometimes when you begin to put on your spiritual body, your spiritual nature, you're going to look a little different. When you put on your spiritual heart, your spiritual mind, your spiritual soul, your countenance should be changing somewhat. Your action should be changing. You shouldn't be looking like the same. People should say to you, you know what? You look a little different. What's happening? What are you doing that's different in your life? When you're positive, when you're Christ-filled, when you're Spirit-filled, you're going to show up differently. Right? That's how you know that something's taking place, that a transformation is happening in your life, because people don't begin to recognize you. And that's a good thing. So they're talking about what had happened, and Jesus is on the road walking next to them, and he says to them, well, what are you talking about? And they tell him, and they say, well, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard, you know, of everything that has happened. And they tell him there was a great prophet named Jesus who was crucified, and he did many, many miracles. And so Jesus continues to walk with them, and it's getting late in the evening, so they invite him, when they reach their place, to stay with him, to have supper with him. Now, to have supper with Jesus is very important. In Revelations, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody opens the door, I will come in and I will do what? I will sup with him. See, so they invite Jesus to stay. And he has dinner with them. And at dinner, it says, the scripture, that he opened their eyes. And all of a sudden, because he's quoting scripture, all of a sudden, they recognize him. They see him. So you have to have spiritual eyes, y'all. Your spiritual eyes have to be opened. And they see the Christ. And it says, and in that instance, bam, he disappears. Gone. And they immediately begin to run back to Jerusalem. Right? Because they had left Jerusalem. And sometimes it's not necessary for us to leave Jerusalem. We need to get back to Jerusalem, that city of peace. So they go back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples of what just occurred. And I want to pick up the story from here. And I'm reading from Luke now. I'm reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 49. 35 through 49. Then the two from Emmaus told their story. They'd already come now to the disciples. They made it back. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. Still, they stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder. And then he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" Remember, breaking of bread is when you get to see the Christ, right? So he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. I can imagine the scene. They're sitting there probably going. And then he said, "Look, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must all come true. Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness for sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So now we have a directive, another directive, that they are to stay in the city of Jerusalem until they are filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's fast forward now to the last book and the telling of this story through the eyes of John, in the book of John. And he tells his disciples, and again, the Marys are there at the tomb, And this time it's just, this is a recording of just Mary Magdalene. But Mary is there. And in this particular version, she encounters the risen Jesus. But she too does not recognize him at first. And she thinks he's the gardener. Until he calls her name. And at that moment, she recognizes that it's Jesus. And she goes down and wants to worship him. And he tells her, don't, not yet, because I haven't fully ascended yet. But I want you to go and tell my disciples that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father. And so she goes and she does just that. And here's what happens next in John. And I'm reading from John 20, verses 19 through 23. That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his side. They were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. He spoke to them again and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you refuse to forgive them, they are unforgiven." And then he goes and he talks to Thomas, who was not there the first time he appeared, and all of that. So I love this because now we're talking. The disciples get the gift. It said he did what? He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. So the disciples now get this ultimate gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to look at the progression of the events. Matthew and Mark start off by saying the message that the disciples are to receive is that they are to go to where? To Galilee. Get to Galilee. Leave and go to Galilee. That's the goal, to get to Galilee, that they will see him there. But then Luke says that they were told, "But you must stay in Jerusalem and wait until you receive power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit." And then in John, they finally what? They get it. They get the gift. Galilee, spiritually and metaphysically speaking, means life activity. It means energy of life. The word Galilee means moving and swirling and turning. It's the energy force that is active and moving. It says in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary that Galilee means life activity, soul energy. It means power and force. And when it's associated with a mountain, because he told them to get to the mountain of what? The mountain of Galilee. When it's associated with a mountain, it means it is a high consciousness of life, right? And the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says science tells us that this Galilee consciousness exists everywhere as an interpenetrating ether. I love the word ethers, meaning it's the stuff all around us. Jesus, the Metaphysical Bible says, called it the kingdom of the heavens. So upon his resurrection, Jesus is telling his disciples to meet him in Galilee. In other words, meet him in this high consciousness of life, right? Don't meet me in the ordinary expression of life. Meet me in Galilee. Meet me in a high consciousness of life. This is so powerful because he says, "I'm going ahead of you to Galilee." Meaning he had reached this high consciousness of life, this Galilee state of mind, and that he was going to go ahead of them and that they were to meet him there. But before they went, before they could get there, they had been given the instructions in Luke and in John that they were to rest and abide and wait in the city of Jerusalem. That before they get to this high consciousness of life activity, that they must dwell in a consciousness of peace so that they could receive this spirit right, in Jerusalem, in peace, that they could receive this divine energy, the Spirit that would lead them and guide them into truth, that would lead them. The Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs and teaches and heals and blesses. Wait for all that power to come upon you, and then you leave for Galilee. So this is a powerful thing, because today we're not only celebrating Jesus' triumph, energy over victory of life over death, but we're also celebrating and rejoicing in the gift that we were given, the gift of this powerful Holy Spirit, the whole Spirit of God indwelling us, in action in us. And we can celebrate because we've got this directive to get to a high consciousness. How do we get to this high consciousness? We should celebrate because we have recognized we have access to this spiritual energy, the spiritual power, the spiritual energy of life that can move us through life. Because Galilee is a moving energy. We need some energy to help what? Move us through life in a powerful way, right? So this is what we're looking at. Now, before we even get to here, in John 14, there's the famous discourse that says, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Because I got something good getting ready to happen. And as he's preparing them for his disciples, he says, I'm going to a place to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. And then he says to them in John 14, and you know where I'm going and how to get there. Now, Philip, the disciple, says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. How do we know how to get there? And Jesus says his famous words, look. He says, I am the way. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. I'm the way. And no one can get to the Father except through me, except through the Christ. So really quickly, I want to read a little bit of John 14 because it's a powerful thing. It's not the end, but this is how what happens before. This is what prepares us. And I'm reading from John 14, verses 7 through 21. And it says, so after Philip just says, I don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. Jesus says, if you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, but Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Philip, don't you yet even know who I am, even after all this time I've been with you? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me, who does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the things you have seen me do. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will. For I will live again, and you will too. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each one of them. This is the story, that when we access that Christ consciousness within us, the Christ mind, the Christ heart, the Christ spirit, We are moved to great places. We are moved to God realization because we are making a divine connection, and we have everything that is needed. Because of today, you can get to Galilee. Because of today, you can get to a high place in consciousness that will lead you to the truth and lead you to life. Because of today, you can meet and face any situation and any circumstance from that high place of consciousness. Because of today, you can receive divine guidance that will never fail you. It's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Never fail you. Because of today, you will never be alone, because the Holy Spirit walks with you every step of your journey, every step of the way. Because of today, you can do the works of Jesus the Christ. That's what it said, and even greater works because of today. Because of today, you can ask anything in his name and nature, and it will be done for you through that power of the risen Christ. It'll be done because of today. Because of today, he lives, and you can too. You can live the extraordinary life you are meant to live as an overcomer. You can live a life of victory. You can live a life of success. You can live a life filled with spiritual power. You only must do two things. You must stay in Jerusalem, that city of peace, that consciousness of peace, until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, until your consciousness is filled with pure peace and pure power. Pure peace and pure power. And when that happens, then you need to get to Galilee. Get to Galilee, because there you're going to meet the Christ. It's there in that consciousness that you meet the Christ in you, through you, as you, your hope of glory. So as you travel to the road of Galilee, to the mountain of Galilee, I say travel well. Travel well. You have everything you need to be successful. Today is the day that Christ the Lord is risen in you. Happy, glorious, and powerful Resurrection Day. Blessings and namaste.